Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is New York-born hard rocker Johnny Gioeli. If you're a fan of heavy metal, you know the name. Johnny fronted the band Hardline, which back in the early 90s signed a major label record deal and was being marketed as the next big thing in the hard rock arena. Well, as we heard from Lita Ford, who was on the show a couple weeks back, the rug was pulled from under rockers when grunge bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam came on the scene. Hardline went from music darlings to out on the street in a matter of months. But that didn't stop the band. They continued making music and playing festivals all over the world. The band members that have come and gone read like a rock history book. Members from Journey, the drummer-producer Bob Rock, and some others who went on to play with Ozzy Osbourne, just to name a few. Earlier this year, Johnny Gioeli announced he was back with a solo career. He's crowdsourcing a new record. Johnny's currently on tour in Germany, and he joins me now. Johnny, welcome to The Download.
Hey, man. Thanks. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing good. So, you know, it's interesting because we did have Lita Ford on not too long ago, and she talked about the plight of a lot of hard rock bands in the early 90s and how it really was the rug was pulled under in a matter of moments. You guys were kind of in the thick of that. Is that accurate to say?
More than accurate, man. In the thick of it is an understatement. I remember we were in the studio, we were recording the first Hardline record, Double Eclipse, first Hardline CD, and a very big name in the industry, John Kalodner, who signed like bands like Guns N' Roses and many others, said, I want you guys to listen to this band. It's a band called Pearl Jam. And he played some of this music. He said, this is all you're going to hear on the radio. This is all you're going to see on MTV. And we were like, get out of here, man. What are you kidding me? And in a flash, we were gone, and the entire scene changed. And that is a very accurate statement. Whoa. We then went out and exchanged our spandex for work pants, and we climbed poles and worked on electricity. No, I'm just kidding. We actually took our music, and we went to the senior center, and we played for the old age people.
There you go. Well, let me ask you, because
it really was an upset, though.
Well,
that's for sure.
I mean, you guys have spent, I mean, you personally had spent years in hard rock. I mean, you were in other bands that were part of the scenes and that we've read about in the 80s in Los Angeles and New York. You've played so many different stages. I mean, one of your bands broke the record, Van Halen's record, at one of the clubs. I mean, your whole career was moving towards this moment of signing that major record deal and getting radio play. So to have that happen at that time, it's just unfortunate.
It's true. I mean, I worked my entire life. I started playing professionally at 11 years old. I learned about music and picked up the guitar at 8 years old. But literally, as a drummer, before I was a lead singer, played at 11. So I was laser focused. I don't remember many days in school. I had tutoring and the whole thing. So this was my life. 1,000,000%. It's all I thought about. It's all I did every single day, every night. And so, you know, to make that dream, you know, become reality, that's what it was all about. And you finally get there, and we had a sizable record deal. You know, we had a $8+ million record deal. That's a lot of cash for a new band. Mm-hmm. And you're there. Finally, you're there. And the work really begins at that point. You release an album. You do pretty well with it. And then all of a sudden, guys, we're not going to do another record. And you're like, wait a minute, are you kidding me? And you know what's wild about it, Justin, is it's not the money that freaks you out, a musician out. At least I'll speak for myself. It was worrying, agonizing, many sleepless nights about, am I not going to hear the sound of that audience again? When those lights go out, brother, and you hear that, you know, of 20, 30, 40,000 people, not to have that in your blood, that's a scary thought. That's like I needed therapy after that. And so after that all happened, I needed some downtime to kind of like, you know, regroup mentally, because I was so fearful of not ever hearing the sound of that audience again more than anything. I didn't care about the magazines I was in or the MTV or any of that stuff. It was about the people. Am I not going to see these people in the audience again? That's what was my worry.
What was, I mean, There were so many bands that were coming up. I mean, obviously the success of bands like Guns N' Roses and other bands like that, where there was a crossover, it almost felt like there was a movement away from glam rock, the makeup and the long hair and the spandex, as you mentioned, to a more sort of biker rock kind of thing that Guns N' Roses was doing. And there were a lot of bands at that time that were trying to jump on that bandwagon. You lived both lives, and you actually had some trouble with the way that the music industry was marketing you guys, because you had long hair, because, you know, you sort of fit the profile of or the look of the glam rock. They wanted to sort of make you more like the band's Poison and bands like that. Talk about that experience of being in the music business and the marketing angle of it.
Yeah, that's true. And we were sort of linked to that whole glam scene, and we were not a glam band. We were so poor we couldn't afford a haircut. But no, that's not accurate. But no, we were thrown into that whole genre, and it wasn't us at all. We came out of that and just went directly into Hardline. See, Hardline started when we met up with Neil Sean. Neil Sean was married to my sister, and they were together for many years. And we never leaned on Neil for any musical help in the industry at all. And one day it was a holiday. We were at Christmas time at my home on the East Coast, and my brother and I, who was in the band, started playing some music. You know, we're playing a song called Face the Night that's on one of the Hardline albums. And Neil comes running in and saying, "Hey man, let me see the guitar. Let me try this, try that." And after a short talk, Neil said, "Hey man, I want to produce this thing." And so we had a totally different vision. Hardline was going to start with was going to be my brother and myself as what we were calling brothers. It was like a hard rock version of Nelson. And so everything just kind of morphed into this, what the record company perceived as this glam band, once all these other long-haired guys joined us. And it wasn't that at all. And then the flip side, which was also so agonizing, is once the Pearl Jam and the Soundgarden and all those bands came out, the record company said, "Hey, we believe in you guys. You can conform to that. You can do that. You're talented. Right. You can do that." And we're like, "Wait, man, it's not about conforming. It's not about filling your bank. It's about being real and true to the music."
How do you stay true to that? I mean, how do you, as someone who's, you know, you're getting a sizable record deal? I mean, that's the music business, as we've been told, conform and try to hit trends.
Well, I'll tell you how we bowed out, quite honestly, Justin. We said, "No, we're not. You know, I don't sing like that. We don't write like that. We're out." And we said, "Well, we know that our fans exist. They're worldwide, and we may not play to 25,000-30,000 people, but we're going to play to people who love and appreciate what we do." And we stuck with it.
You took some time off, and from about mid-90s to 2000, there was no Hardline. But you came back. What was it that brought you back?
I needed money. No, I'm kidding. sorry, man. Can I ever be serious? No. Honestly, after that time period, I played around with different members, and it can be a mistake. I tried to regroup Hardline using different members, and when you have Dean Castronovo and Todd Jensen from, you know, who played with Alice Cooper and Ozzy, and you have Neil Sean, of course, from Journey, you just can't replicate that. But I tried. I wasted a lot of time there. But also, I needed a departure from it. I needed to kind of regain my strength, my energy, my mindset. Just imagine, so 11 years old, and then into my young 20s, all I did was music, try to live that dream. I make the dream happen. Rug gets pulled out from under your feet. And you need some therapy, man. I needed some time off, and that's exactly what I did. I just relaxed, regained, refocused, waited for the industry to kind of settle, and then said, "You know what? I'm going to do what I do, whether it's accepted by a record label or not." And that's it. And then the world changed with the internet, and bye-bye labels. We don't really need them.
Right. Well, let's talk about now, because you're back with you're going on a solo career. You have a new solo record you're working on, and you've decided to crowdfund that, which we've seen a lot from musicians and from writers and creators in here that are doing the same thing for television and film. What's the move to do that? I mean, obviously you need resources and you have a fan base, but what does that provide you? You just talked about being true to your music and true to your voice. Does that do that for you? I mean, is this going to be an authentic project for you?
Yeah, well, what it does, Justin, is really phenomenal. Something that we've never had to, we weren't able to do in the past, is to connect with the fan. So the fans have always been on the sidelines, and everything was so secretive in music. You never knew where Van Halen was recording. You didn't know when they were recording, where they were recording. You didn't know where they lived. You didn't know how they lived. And with this whole social media movement, I think it's the coolest thing that musicians now can be real and they can be true to their fans. So, you know, the reason I wanted to do this, two main reasons. One is I've never been a social media guy. You know, I just got a Facebook page not too long ago. I've never been it. But I said, you know, the fans deserve this. They deserve to know. They deserve to see. And I found out about this platform through a friend of mine called Pledge Music. I said, okay, wait a minute. This is a great opportunity to touch all these people, communicate with them, let them see how it works, let them see how difficult it is. It's not easy to write a record, to make a record, to record a record, to master a record, to promote a record. It's not easy. So that's the first aspect of it. The second aspect that I love about it is that it's charitable. And we have a dear family friend named Joe Barber, 17-year-old kid, very close to our family, dove into the water and accidentally hit a rock in the Long Island Sound. I live on the East Coast, and he's paralyzed from the neck down. And there's a million charities, as we know, but this one's in my backyard, and I had to do something. So I said, wait a minute, this now is a platform where I can create a record. I can invite the fans to witness the creation of this thing, be there right along my side, and it's charitable. I can give donations that are pledged towards the record to this family who really needs the help.
That's
rehabilitation
great.
For someone with a spinal injury, $8 to $10 million over their lifetime. So those are the key reasons.
Johnny, let me ask you, and I know you're going to be coming into town in the fall for a tour, but when you think back to the decades that you've been performing music, especially rock music, and you think back to those times, the spandex times, as you referred, the long-haired times, what's the emotional response to that? Are those good memories? Are those bad memories? What's it like to think back to bands like Hardline or Brunette and other bands that you were in?
Well, I think they're great memories. They're great. I mean, look, was it difficult? Absolutely. The old cliche, starving artist, believe every word of it. But was it a great experience? Was it an amazing accomplishment? I thank God every day when I had that record deal. And I used to tell my now wife, we need to be thankful every single day because this just doesn't happen every day. So let's enjoy this. And I did, man. I didn't take anyone who knows me, any fan that knows me knows I at least try to give 120% at every show because I care. So I have great, great memories. I also have some pretty ugly stories too, but I'll stick with the great memories.
We'll get the ugly stories. We'll get those out of you next time.
Yeah. In the studio, I'll share a couple. It's brutal.
Johnny Gioeli from the band Hardline is putting out a solo record. You can find out more at Pledge Music, and we'll put that stuff on the website. Johnny, thanks for taking some time out from the German tour, and we look forward to having you in studio come fall.
Great to be on the air with you, Justin. You do a great job. Thank you, man.